Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Natural Radio Show. My name is Cindera Mendez, and I'm the host on the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women and men worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect to discuss enriched conversations about life skills and self-development. As we all know, I'm doing a book review on the conspiracy to destroy black women, and this is a live broadcast, so if you are listening on tonight's show, you are more than welcome to call in, and my call-in number is 516-590-0362, and you can call in and give your comments, concerns, or questions regarding the chapter that I read. So in addition, what's going to take place on tonight is that I'm going to read the chapter, and then I'm going to give my review and thoughts on it. So without further ado, I am at chapter 4, and if you have the book, once again, it's called The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Women by Michael Porter. You can read along with me and just simply enjoy. All right, so this is chapter 4. And it says it's AIDS and African-American women. And then it has Jesus wept, John 11:35. So it continues on as African-American women are overwhelmingly dying from the plague. The plague is the acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which is we all know as AIDS. What was once called the gay white man's disease is now taking the lives of African-American women in record numbers. When it comes to AIDS deaths, the sisters in North America and Africa have a common bond of death. So the sub-Saharan Africa continues to bear the brunt of HIV and AIDS, which with close to 70% of the global total of HIV-positive people. Most will die in the next 10 years, joining the 13.7 million Africans already claimed by the epidemic and leaving behind shattered families and crippled prospects for development. This is both tragic and scary. During various conversations among African Americans, we sometimes pose the hypothetical question, what will the world be like without black people? A ghastly possible answer may be revealed here. So this is just a sub-study, everyone, that I'm going into. This is not necessarily Michael Porter words, but it reads, because of AIDS, companies doing business in Africa are hurting and are bracing themselves for far worse as their workers die. According to a survey of commercial farmers in Kenya, illness and death have already replaced old age retirement as the leading reason why employees leave service. Retirement accounted for just 2% of employees drop out by 1997. Life expectancy at birth in southern Africa, which rose from 44 years in the early 1950s to 59 in the early 1990s, is set to drop to just 45 between 2005 and 2010 because of AIDS. In contrast, South Asians who would barely reach their 40th birthday in 1950s can expect by 2005 to be living 22 years longer than their counterparts in AIDS-ravaged Africa. Now, as we continue on and with Michael Porter's words, he says, it is possible for more than 1 billion African people in the global diaspora, which is Africa, Brazil, the U.S., the Caribbean, and Europe, to drastically dwindle to mere millions because of AIDS-related deaths. In Africa, 13 women are infected for every 10 men. Across the Atlantic, African American women comprise 60% of new AIDS cases, with an AIDS rate 16 times that of white women. 61.9 compared to 3.8 per 100,000 population. We all African people are in trouble. Sure, we've been in trouble for almost 600 years. But this problem is wiping us out across the planet. Further complicating matters for African American women is the fact that at least 38% of new AIDS cases are contracted through heterosexual means. That means the love of women's life may lead to the loss of her life. Bisexuality among African American men must be examined. Many African American ministers, politicians, and men of various professions are gay or bisexual and married, as are many white men. Many professional gay bisexual men marry for social reasons. Ministers are expected to have wives, as an example. Some women don't know that their men are gay, bisexual. Some are simply naive women that have this bizarre belief that they can change their men's sexual orientation. Besides the frustration of sleeping with a man who wishes that he was sleeping with his man, there is the possibility that he or his male partner is having unsafe sex. Then there are the drugs, the heroin, and crack cocaine. Here the dynamics are simple. Crack and heroin addicts can't keep jobs long and must resort to selling their bodies, among other crimes, in order to fund their habits. Heroin addicts often share needles, thus passing HIV along some crack or heroin addicted men to sell their bodies, generally to homosexual men. Some men with wives or girlfriends sleep with a crack addicted female prostitute. It is truly a scary situation. And then there are the brothers on America's new slave plantation, also known as prisons. Though the data is vague on how many incarcerated African American males are HIV positive, there is a general agreement that the number is growing. I believe that state and federal authorities know that a widespread panic would result if accurate HIV/AIDS numbers on incarcerated men were released. Does the incidence of HIV and AIDS among incarcerated African American males mean that most of the brothers are homosexual? No, it does not. As a gut-wrenching as this may sound, there are punks and homosexuals in prison. Punks are heterosexual men who are either raped by other men, who engage in sexual activities with one man in order to prevent being raped by other men. Homosexuals are just that, homosexuals. The reasons for this behavior among imprisoned men must be studied in depth, but the effect of this behavior on African American women is obvious. Many of these brothers return home to girlfriends and wives, and women whose men have served prison time should go with them and have them tested straight up. Women should lovingly tell their man, "We are doing this for us and our future children." If he refuses, again, lovingly tell him you love yourself too much to act irresponsibly. Most men I've counseled are embarrassed to state that they were raped or that they voluntarily had sex with one or two men to prevent being raped. Brothers who raped other men are now likely to tell their mates. Having them tested for HIV is the safest and smartest thing to do. What can African American women do to save themselves? How does white supremacy factors into this gloomy scenario? So now we're going into a sub-study of what Michael Porter has shared in his book. And it reads, researchers and service providers need a better understanding of the role of culture and socioeconomic factors in the transmission of HIV. As well as the effect of racial inequality on public health. In addition, public health officials should consider changing epidemiological surveillance to include other demographic information such as social, economic, and cultural factors. These efforts need to influence the design of HIV prevention messages, services, and programs. Okay, so that was a research that he shared in this chapter. So, these are Michael Porter's words. In order to significantly reduce the spread of AIDS among African American women, an honest look at the effects of white supremacy oppression on all African lives is absolutely necessary. The effect of African colonization and American slavery and racism on sisters must be further studied. First, a revolution in the beliefs and behaviors of all African people is necessary to stop the madness of AIDS. A people who are encouraged by a patriarchal white supremacist social structure to engage in sex as a recreational activity are at high risk of contracting the AIDS virus. Women conditioned to believe that they must give sex in order to receive love are at a high risk of contracting AIDS. Women and men who have been encouraged to stop being old-fashioned and to start engaging in sexual orgies and mate swapping because white folks do it are at high risk of contracting AIDS. There must be a revolution in the beliefs and behaviors of all African people if we are to reduce and survive the AIDS epidemic. African American women must utilize any and all approaches, traditional and non-traditional, to saving their lives and our lives. Sisters living deep in the hood and in the rural areas must be reached as well as those residing in a luxurious suburbia. Sisters must also make men wait, really wait, before engaging in sexual activities with them. There's too much impatience in African-American female-to-male relationships. We move too fast and end up suffering too much. Women must sit and seriously talk among themselves and with men about sexual activities and AIDS. Straight to the point conversations must take place on a regular basis. Fear of talking is a luxury none of us can afford. African American women must also work with political officials, schools, hospital administrators, and board members to develop programs designed to decrease the number of African American women with AIDS. Expectation and timelines must be stated. The life and death urgency of the situation must be articulated and by the women and felt by the officials and administrators. Racist medical practices, including racist attitudes, must be put on the table and dealt with. Elected officials at every level control the allocation of public funds. Hospital administrators and board members control the allocation of hospital resources. The goal is affordable access to HIV treatment drugs such as ZDV, also known as AZT, DDC, DDI, and 3TC, and D4T. They all are medications used to control or medicate HIV. People who have, contracted HIV or AIDS. So these are the medicines. I just used the abbreviations. So if you are a nurse, you will understand, you will know what type of medicine that I am presenting in the chapter. So African-American women must also seek to ease the psychological pain, which is on a daily basis experienced by their people. I believe that much of this pain comes from frustrated, deferred dreams, which leads to feelings of anger, depression, and hopelessness. Drugs such as alcohol, crack, and heroin are used as means of escape from the pain. Sometimes sex is used as a means of escaping from psychological and emotional pain. Comprehending and dealing with these psychological emotional stressors will prevent many African-American women from engaging in drug use or sexual activity as a means of escape. Many of those currently using drugs or engaging in escapist sexual activity will stop when they learn how to effectively function and productively cope within a white supremacist social structure. Now let's look at what I believe is the cause of AIDS and the high AIDS rate among African American women. So now this is another research that he put into this chapter and this book. So it reads, medicine, if it means anything at all, means to ascertain the fundamental rock bottom causation of disease. Ultimately, the fundamental cause of given disease determines what must be done about it. Otherwise, one is treating various symptoms of a disease. Sometimes a disease may be a symptom of something else. AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, is recognized as a disease, but AIDS may also be a symptom of yet another disease, which must be determined. Again, the cause of AIDS must be explained, understood, and accepted by African-American women. In Chapter 25 of the ISIS papers, psychiatrist Frances Cress Welsland, an African-American woman, clearly explains that AIDS epidemic is a premeditated chemical biological warfare activity undertaken by the white supremacist power structure for the sole purpose of assuring white genetic survival through the population reduction of non-white people, especially African-American people. According to Dr. Wilson, AIDS was presented to the world as an African disease caused by the African green monkey, quoting from a survey of chemical and biological warfare by John Cookson and Judith Nottingham. Now we're going into another research that he implemented as well. So it states, the question of whether new disease could be used is a considerable interest. Reverend monkey disease, African green monkey disease, may well be an example of a whole new class of disease-causing organisms. Handling of blood and tissue without precaution causes infection. It is unaffected by any antibiotic substance so far tried and is unrelated to any other organism. It is a cause fatality in some cases and can be venereally transmitted in a man. It has possible potential as an infection disease of man. It is presumably is also of BW, which is a biological warfare interest. New diseases are continually appearing. In addition to these, there are the possibilities of virus and bacteria being genetically manipulated to produce organisms. So now these are Michael Porter's words as he continues on with another quotation from his research. It says, a survey of chemical and biological warfare was published in 1969. The patriarchal white male supremacists are very efficient at perfecting ways to take human life. Many people are understandably frightened by how far white supremacy will go to maintain its domination of the earth. The Nazi regime murder of 6 million European Jews and the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, which lasted 40 years in America, are examples of how far patriarchal white supremacy will go. There's no green monkey in Africa running around biting people and giving them AIDS, but there's a real-life mad white power structure creating and using deadly viruses. African-American women must look the monster in its eyes. African people the world over are being used as worthless guinea pigs, while simultaneously being destroyed in huge numbers. The African-American women's quest to reduce the spread of AIDS is directly related to the necessity of stopping the patriarchal white supremacy. White supremacy is the true disease. AIDS is only another deadly symptom of a pathological white supremacy. AIDS is designed to rid the white supremacists of their genetically dominated enemies. Let me read that again. That says, AIDS is designed to rid the white supremacists of their genetically dominant enemies. So while it is necessary to get all African people to practice abstinence, safe sex, and to stop drugs usage, a major thrust must be the undoing of white supremacists' value behavior systems that is simply hell-bent on getting rid of all African-American people along with Africans. Okay, so that was chapter 4, and he gave a thorough background on AIDS and African-American women, and basically he talked about the, you know, sexuality, drugs, and, you know, the sexual practices of people and how, you know, AIDS are contracted and things of that nature. So with that being said, I'm just going to take a little break and I'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. So I'm basically going to give my thoughts on this chapter and what are my views on it. So I wanted to just basically talk about how AIDS come about and just, you know, relationships, and being that this is about so-called black women, you know, Michael Porter had mentioned some really, good factors regarding relationships, and I just wanted to highlight that more, especially when he mentioned in the fourth paragraph where it says that women usually, it says, the love of women's life may lead to the loss of her life. Basically, what he meant by that is that sometimes, you know how there's a saying that when they say that love is blind, sometimes a woman could be so blind to the fact of love or loving her mate that not realizing that her life could be at risk and, you know, of contracting HIV or whatever the case might be. So it's basically her being gullible and blinded by love and thinking that, oh, okay, she could be intimate with her mate or whatever the case might be. And a lot of times this unknowingly happened to girlfriends, wives, because they don't know the sexuality of, you know, the guy that they are with, whether they are a heterosexual, bisexual, or whatever the case might be, they don't know. Or sometimes, you know, men might keep that part of their life secret, and vice versa. It's not just men that have these diseases, it's women. As we mentioned, they could also be so-called black women that have HIV and not upfront and honest with their sexuality, and maybe their husband and their boyfriend don't know that this woman is carrying on, you know, HIV or AIDS or whatever the case might be, and passing it on, you know. So just in general, you know, this is just about, you know, being an adult, okay? Being an adult and understanding your sexuality, one, is a main factor. And I feel like the primary common sexualities that people all can relate to are heterosexual, some who are homosexual, bisexuality. These are things that we are aware of. There's a thing called demisexual, sapiosexual, and then you have some people that are out there that are non-binary, you know, people who don't identify with being a male or a female. But for those who are heterosexual, heterosexual just means that you like the opposite sex. Homosexual basically means when you like the same sex. And then bisexuality is when you go both ways and you like both man and woman, okay? And then a demisexual is someone who you are emotionally drawn to, someone who you are, you form an emotional bond and attachment to them. So this is a demisexual. A sapiosexual is someone who's just simply attracted to someone intelligently. Like if the person is intelligent or whatever the case might be, you know, these people are attracted to them. So this is the primary sexuality. There are more sexuality types, excuse me. And I just wanted to just mention those and highlight that more. And for those who are either a homosexual or bisexual, whatever the case might be, those are mainly of concern, because when it comes down to being sexually active with, you know, an opposite sex or same sex or whatever the case might be, you have to protect yourself and understand that your life is very, very, very important. Okay, so another thing that Porter has mentioned, he mentioned how some women don't know that their men are either gay or bisexual. He says some are naive women that have bizarre beliefs and thinking that they can change their men's sexual orientation. And I just want to simply say that for women, if you know your man's sexuality, just in general, whatever the case might be, you cannot change that person, and vice versa. If a man, you know the sexuality of your woman, you cannot change a person. And that's just generally speaking, you cannot change anyone. You cannot get into a relationship and think, oh, I can love this person to being good. Oh, I can love this person into changing, you know, this bad habit or whatever the case might be. 9 times out of 10, you can't. The only person that you can control and change is yourself. And that is a fact. Okay? So, another factor that he talked about was the development of how How men that are bisexual, how when they're intimate with their mate, that sometimes they can have a desire of being with the man counterpart, or whatever the case might be. These things actually happen. And then he highlighted what our punks are, from homosexuals, people that are in, you know, prison or just in general. Once again, it read how punks are heterosexual men who are either raped by other men and who engage in sexual activities with one man in order to prevent being raped by groups of men. Okay, so this is what that means. And he suggested that women who have men or husbands that are in prison incarcerated to go get tested and checked, as far as getting them, you know, tested for HIV or AIDS and things like that. So that way you can know their status and be responsible about your status as well, because you don't want to contract anything, you know, from your husband or your man in prison or whatever the case might be. So I think that's the responsible thing to do. And for the men that are victims, they still, you know, punks, they still identify with being heterosexuals because they are not, you know, one who are full-fledged or homosexual, but they are victims. And a lot of times men are embarrassed to share that part, you know, about themselves. And a lot of times they keep that part of themselves secret. And or private, I would say private, because it's something that they went through that was traumatizing. So I would say that there needs to be a support system for men that are victimized, you know. And as Michael Porter mentioned, that there's certain studies that need to be further, and I highlighted and took an interest. Maybe I'll do a research on it myself. But there's certain things that need to take like a laser focus into certain activities that are happening and taking place. So with that being said, the show is coming to an end, and I really didn't get the chance to take any calls or anything of that sort. But you can listen in on next week's show, which is going to be about Chapter 5, and it's going to be about white male supremacy. And hopefully the show will be extended by then. So with that being said, you all have a wonderful night, and thank you for listening to the Natural Radio Show.